Everybody ready? Got your Bible? Pen? Paper? I just happen to have it because my notes are on it. Oh, hallelujah. Okay, let's just give the Lord thanks for this evening. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, we praise you, we bless you, and we glorify you as God, as Lord over all. There is nothing that is impossible for you to accomplish or for you to do, Lord. We are asking that you increase our faith, you increase our trust, our belief, our reliance upon you as we look into this third message concerning thoughts on the kingdom of God. And though I will be covering some of the same passages, Lord, there is something that you caused me to see. There are other things that you wanted me to look at in regard to some of these scriptures. And I am just asking, Lord, for a spirit of wisdom and revelation for myself and for my brothers and sisters concerning this subject. So I praise you, I glorify you, and I magnify you right now in the wonderful, precious name of Jesus. Amen. First off, I'm going to ask you for prayer. I need your prayer. As I continue to do this kingdom of God study, there is more information and revelation and understanding coming to me concerning this subject. And it seems to be a very well-balanced understanding, yet full of power, full of faith, full of great expectation of God's kingdom manifesting in a greater measure here on earth. And as I was ending my study this afternoon, I was ending with Matthew chapter 6, so I'm going to begin where I ended, and hopefully we'll be able to fill in the in-between here. In Matthew chapter 6, and we drop down to verse 9, where Jesus instructs his disciples to pray in this manner or according to this way. And I'm just going to read the Lord's Prayer and then jump back to a verse here and then make a couple comments. In this manner, verse 9, Matthew 6, verse 9, Jesus says, "Therefore pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Now, as I was concluding this and ending my study today, and the reason why I'm asking for prayer is in verse 10, where he says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." This is a very powerful truth for us to comprehend and understand. At times, we get so used to either we know the Lord's Prayer or we have said the Lord's Prayer. When I was going to AA, we ended every AA meeting in those days. I don't even know if they do it today, with everybody getting in a circle, holding hands, and saying the Lord's Prayer. When I was young and I went to a Catholic school, we said the Lord's Prayer. If I got into trouble, I don't know how many of them I had to say. They just kind of gave up on me after a while. But to go back and understand a truth here that the Lord is wanting us to see, he's wanting our understanding to become a whole lot more broad, a whole lot more razor-focused, a whole lot more with an expectation, not just of the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, that when we know that when he comes for us and collects us all together, what we refer to as the rapture or the first resurrection or the resurrection of the just, when we meet the Lord in the air and we receive our resurrected bodies and forever we're with the Lord, and then we have an understanding of the judgments that are going to take place afterwards, and we also have an understanding that after these judgments and after this time of great tribulation on the earth and after this wonderful marriage supper of the Lamb, there's going to be a 1,000-year reign of Jesus here on earth, as it tells us in Revelation chapter 20. Now, having said that, there is a truth here that Jesus is speaking about, that we're not just to wait for that time in the distant future or not too distant future, that there is an understanding of a prayer that he's asking or teaching his disciples to pray about a kingdom come, about a manifestation, about a revelation, about a showing up of a kingdom of God on earth, here, right now, in us, to us, and through us. And as we continue to progress in this teaching, as I'm seeking the Lord concerning this teaching, that we are going to find out some areas of doubt. We're going to find some areas of unbelief. We're going to find some, areas of fear are going to be exposed, or maybe little faith is going to be exposed, or failed faith. And what I mean by failed faith is that maybe there are those areas within our life where we stepped out on God's word, where we took a promise of God's word, or we prayed about something, and it seemed like the opposite came to pass. It didn't seem like we got our prayers answered. And so for some believers in Jesus Christ, their faith has been diminished, and so they've kind of backstepped away from certain things of God's word, certain things from God's power, certain manifestations that God's word says that we should be seeing and experiencing here on this side of eternity. And we want to look at these things. We want to challenge ourselves. We want to have a renewed faith if it needs to be renewed, or restored faith. We want the truth of God's word, as it says here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, of a greater experienced reality in our lives while we are living here on this planet. So I'm asking for your prayers. I'm asking for your prayers concerning this subject. I want to teach as much as I can concerning this subject. I want to teach about the parables of the kingdom, the understanding of that kingdom, how it's supposed to operate here, why we live in a fallen kingdom or a kingdom of darkness on this earth, and how we are citizens of the kingdom of God or ambassadors of the kingdom of God while we're here on earth. And how's that supposed to look more, you know, on our lives and in our lives and through our lives? So please continue to pray as I seek the Lord on this subject. Now, I did have a notepad over there with some other notes on it, but these are my rough notes here. And so I just went through and highlighted some of my rough notes that I'm going to be sharing on this evening. And so we have been taking some time and looking at this subject on thoughts on the kingdom of God and starting to razor in here as I was doing my study today about God's kingdom release in the last days. God's kingdom release in the last days. And I take this from a passage in Revelation chapter 12 where these tribulation saints are they're experiencing some things, and it tells us how Satan goes out and he's deceived the nations. But then it speaks about a now of our salvation, a now of the power of God, a now of the kingdom of our God, a now of the authority of Jesus Christ. And it talks about a now of it, and especially during the time of the end. So it's almost letting us know that prior to Jesus' second coming for his church, that there's going to be a greater manifestation, because the deception is going to be so big of Satan in the world, there is going to be a greater manifestation of the reality of Jesus' salvation, of the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit, of the kingdom of God, and the exercising of that authority, because it says now. Well, we can take that now for the last times, maybe we are in those times, and take that as a living reality for ourselves today. I will look at that verse in a little bit. So I wanted to just go back over a passage of Scripture in Luke chapter 12, and once again, to hear the Father's heart on this. I want you to hear that Jesus is relaying to us the desire of the Father in verses 31 and 32. And this is very similar to what it says in Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus is talking about the subject of not having an anxious mind, not being worried about, you know, our food and our clothing and what we're going to put on our body and what we're going to eat and where we're going to live. And he just says, look around at nature. You know, you don't see a bird out there, you know, worrying about where they're going to get their, we could say, next worm. And he's just making these references to nature and to life about look around And if God takes care of them, aren't you of greater importance? Aren't you more special to God than a bird? And the answer is yes. And so in verse 31, he says, Jesus is speaking, but seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. And he's talking about, you know, everything that we need for us to continue to have a sustained life here on this planet. And then in Luke's gospel, Luke records, says, do not fear. In the verses above this, there's one place in verse 29, he says, don't have an anxious mind. Don't have, I believe the King James Version uses the word doubtful mind. Not to have a mind that's tossed to and fro, that is going up and down. In other words, like believing God or disbelieving God. Well, yeah, God can do anything. Well, he's just not doing it in my life. It's talking about the person who has a topsy-turvy attitude concerning the Word of God, concerning the promises of God, or what God can and cannot do. And a lot of times we base our belief or we base our faith, instead of having it fully grounded in the Word of God, we base it upon our own feelings or our own circumstances instead of solely on what the Word of God has to say. And so he's saying, do not fear. Don't allow yourself to get in a place where you're afraid, where you're timid. He says, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God does not want us to operate in fear of any kind, because we know that if fear is dominant within our life, faith goes out the window. That we won't be able to believe God, we won't be able to trust God, we won't be able to put our assurance in him or what his word has to say. Faith is that which will grab hold of what God says as greater than any circumstance or situation in the natural realm. That we have the ability, number one, because we are children of God, through our faith in Jesus Christ, that the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, can teach us a promise, can teach us a scripture, and have it become so real to us that the reality of his word becomes greater than the natural circumstance that is surrounding us. And God is wanting us to have this understanding that as a heavenly Father, his greatest desire is to grant to us all the resources that he has available where he is, and to make those resources available where we are here on earth. And at times, we don't have that type of a kingdom concept. We don't have that type of a kingdom thinking. We look more at the natural surroundings than the supply, or who God is and the supply that he has. And he's wanting us to have a greater understanding that he is our Father, he takes care of us, and what he has where he's at wants to make it manifest to where we are at. And so these are some of the truths that God is trying to communicate to us as his children. Number one, we have to realize that God is eternal and his supply is exhaustless. Now, how many of us have gone to the store? Recently, I went to the store looking for some brown sugar. I couldn't find any brown sugar. Where the brown sugar was, there were some dented boxes of some white sugar, but I wanted some brown sugar, and I could not find any natural cane brown sugar. Just evaporated cane juice, and I couldn't find any. I went back the next week, I couldn't find any. Just recently, I was able to go buy a couple 8-pound bags because the supply has been replenished. I went there, I couldn't find it. So we know that in this world that we live in, there is not an unlimited supply of resources. If it was unlimited, the shelves would always be stocked. But with God, it's unlimited and it's unexhaustible. You'll never come to the end. As God is eternal, as God is infinite, so are his resources and what he has for our lives. You're not going to be able to ask him for something, and then all of a sudden, your number comes up and he says, Mark, I seem to be out of that today. It's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen. But we have that kind of thinking with God, that he doesn't want to supply, when the Word of God says that he really wants to oversupply. Or as it tells us, I believe it's in Ephesians chapter 3, I want to say verse 20. I just love the way that the Apostle Paul, thank you, Guy. It says in Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to exceedingly abundantly above, I mean, look at that, exceedingly abundantly above, all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. Wait a second. Where's that power working? Where's that power at? Within us. It says that God wants to over-answer our prayers. God wants to over-supply, actually, even our requests. It's almost like it says in Luke, good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over. God is the God of overflow. He's the God of causing things to run over. So it's just not to meet the need in your life, but that your life can help meet the need in somebody else's life also. So God blesses us so that we can become a blessing to others. And so he is so wanting us to come to this understanding that we don't have to have any type of fear. We don't have to have any type of thinking that it's not going to happen. But this has to be learned. This has to be learned, and this has to be experienced. Now, from what I just said, you're learning. But the Apostle Paul, he makes two statements, and all of us know these two verses in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, and Philippians 4, verse 19. Philippians 4, verse 13, he says, I can do all things. Now, this is the Apostle Paul speaking. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Okay, now he is going to share with the church at Philippi because they helped him in ministry. They gave into the ministry. They helped finance Paul in the gospel ministry. And he says, as a result of doing that, now God is going to do something for you. So in Philippians 4:19, he makes this statement to the Philippians, and my God shall supply all your need. So he's now talking to the church at Philippi and those who helped supply him in ministry. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. How did Paul come to the place of understanding about God's supply? And how did Paul come to the place of understanding that there was an ability, that there was a strength, that there was something that Jesus himself would infuse into his life and make sure that everything that he needed would be given to him? How did Paul come to that place of understanding? Well, let's go to Philippians chapter 4 and just read a couple verses above that. We'll start with verse 10, Philippians 4:10, and read it through verse 13. And once again, he's talking to the Philippians, and he's addressing them how they ministered and supplied the need that he had. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now, at last, your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need. He said, it's absolutely wonderful that you met my needs. I am so excited that you sent these resources and sent all this aid to help, you know, finance the ministry. But there was something that Paul knew. There was something that Paul had grabbed a hold of. There was a truth that he had come to know about God's kingdom, about the place that he had in God's kingdom as a child of God, and what was always going to be available to him. Look what he says here. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere, now this is the Apostle Paul speaking about his life and his experiences in life. So he's saying everywhere, so no matter where I went, no matter what I did, and in all things, in everything that I faced, and in all things, I have, once again, learned. I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Then he says, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's a lot of us, we have learned a lot. We have been taught a lot. But yet, some people fail in the school of experience. Some people fail when it comes to the application. Some people cringe. Some people begin backpedaling. when things just aren't going the way that they should be going. They're not seeing the results that they thought they should be doing or seeing. And then they begin withdrawing that word, withdrawing that promise. They begin backing off instead of staying with it. Instead of, as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 13, enduring to the end, enduring until you see that promise come to pass, staying with it because you know the nature and character of God. You know the passage that we just looked at from Luke chapter 12, that it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom or the resources of that kingdom. Father God wants to grant to you his promises and what he has where you are, where you're living. But at times, we're the ones, because of our lack of faith, because of our doubt, maybe a fear, maybe a circumstance or situation that is coming to pass, that we at times negate the word of truth that we've been given to grab hold of. This word here, Paul learned, it means to hear. It means to be informed about. It means to hear, be informed about, and then by use, practice and experience. So this word learned here is just not being studious about something. It is, yes, it is, part of it is being studious. Part of it is learning what the Word of God has to say. But it's hearing with an ear to receive. It's being informed about a matter. Inform means the complete understanding on a subject so that you stay with it. You look at all the different places about how a person experienced that or went through it and came through the other side. You educate yourself in the Word of God. You stay with it, you stay with it, you stay with it. And then, you know, the wonderful thing about living this life, you will be given an opportunity to apply it. And that's where experience comes in. And this is at the times where we either overcome or we back off. We either stay with that truth or we let it go. And the Word of God is telling us here that Paul came to a place, even when he was hungry, even when he didn't have anything, even as it says, I believe it's in 2 Corinthians or maybe 1 Corinthians, there's three or four places in 1 and 2 Corinthians where Paul describes his life and the things that he experienced as a believer in Jesus going about doing the will of God. And in one place it says, in fastings often. Now, it almost seems like he's saying that if there wasn't a supply of food for that day, I guess it's time for me to fast. He always had an understanding that God always had his back. God was always going to bring in the supply when he needed it. And so he did not allow a lack that he was experiencing in the natural to cause it to be a spiritual lack in his life, spiritually speaking. And so he refused to allow the natural circumstances to dominate the truth of God's word, which is superior. And so he's learned, and he always knew that before things got really bad, that there would be a supply that God would bring within his life. That's why he said, he used this word learned, and he said it twice. He learned and he learned. He had this understanding that God is always faithful to his word, and that God would bring a supply when the supply was needed. And so this is an understanding all of us need to have with inside of our heart, that it's Father God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, referring to all the resources that he is, all the resources that he has, everything that is available with him, the inexhaustiveness of himself. He wants to make known to you and manifest within your lives. It could be wisdom. It could be financial. It could be guidance. There are all these things that we face here on this planet. And our good, good Father wants to make sure that you have an understanding that you are not here on your own just to try to figure all this out. That it's so important for us to have an understanding as born-again, Spirit-filled children of God that he's given us a comforter. That's why it's so important that when a person comes to know Jesus Christ, and after they're water baptized, or sometimes it happens in between water baptism, for a believer in Jesus Christ, to come to the place of asking for the gift of the Father, the Holy Spirit, or we refer to it as the baptism of the Holy Spirit, so that we can have the Comforter, or the person of God, the Holy Spirit, dwelling inside of us to comfort us, to lead us, to teach us, to guide us, to bring the Word of God to our remembrance when we need the Word of God brought to our remembrance, to encourage us when we need encouragement. And He is there always doing that. But we are the ones with our sometimes finite thinking or fleshly thinking or the feelings, the five sense realm feelings, to dominate more than the Holy Spirit or the Word of God at times. And these are the things that we need to overcome. We need to overcome our flesh. We need to overcome wrong type of thinking. We need to overcome feelings and allow the Word of God to take precedence over feelings. And so Paul learned this. He learned this, and he had this understanding that he knew that the Word of God, once believed and received, would do what God said it would do, because the Word of God, by the mouth of Jesus, tells us in Matthew 13, in Mark chapter 4, in Luke chapter 8, the three times that the parable of the sower or the planter and the seed, which is the Word of God. And he tells us that the good-hearted soil person hears the Word of God, accepts the Word of God, takes in the Word of God, understands the Word of God, and bears its fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. And so the Word of God is, it says by the mouth of Jesus, it is seed, and is seed to be planted within our life. And that seed has to be nourished. That seed has to be fostered. That seed has to be kept in its proper place so it can grow and produce what God said it would produce within our lives. And having this type of an understanding, we can kind of line it up with what James says. James tells us in James chapter 1, verse 22, he tells us to be hearers. He says not to be just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Yes, we need to hear the word of God. We need to have an understanding what the word of God says. But he said, be doers of the word and not hearers only. Why? It will lead us to a place of self-deception. Why would it lead us to a place of self-deception? Sometimes people, what I have found out over the years, Christians over the years, because they know a word or they know a teaching, they know a truth, they know something of God's word that they're able to explain, they have heard it. And they've heard it enough where they can actually sit down and share it with somebody or explain it to somebody, but they don't have any practical experience in what they've heard. And at times, they take the knowledge of what they've gained as experience, and it's not experience yet. It's not until that is put to the test within our life, until we've taken it and functionally used it within our life, that it's going to guard us against self-deception. Sometimes people believe because they have knowledge that that is experience. No, knowledge gives us the avenue by when we are facing something, we bring that knowledge of God's word into the situation that we are facing. If there is lack, well, wait a second. The word of God just got through telling me over here in Matthew chapter 6 and also in Luke chapter 12 that my God is going to be the one who's going to supply my need as long as I seek first the kingdom of God, as long as I keep my heart in a place of righteousness before him, as long as I know it's the Father's good pleasure to supply me what he has, where he's at, and to bring that supply to me here on this planet. My place is to believe that word and stand until God brings it to pass. And there's a lot of times we want the knowledge, but we don't want to go through the experience. And there are, for a lot of you, you are going to need to go through the experience. And so if there's a truth that you have learned and you can speak about that truth, but you don't have any experience in it, you need to release that to the Lord. You even need to release the failures to the Lord. Let's say there's something that you've believed God for and it didn't come to pass the way that you thought it should. And it's created a doubt within you. It's actually created a fear sometimes even to believe God. You need to let that go, because you know that is the devil's tool that he's trying to use in your life to keep you from advancing forward in your spiritual growth. And the enemy, this world, will always try to keep us carnal, will always try to keep us babes in Christ, will always try to keep us to a place of not growing. You've heard me say this before, but it was said of Thomas Edison that he did over 1,000 experiments until he found the right filament for the light bulb. And somebody asked him, it was a newspaper a reporter, said, didn't you become discouraged with these 1,000 failed attempts at trying to find the right filament for the light bulb? He said, failed? Failure? He said, each one of those wasn't a failure. It just got me closer to the right element that I was to use for the light bulb. He never looked at those 1,000 experiments, over 1,000 experiments, of trying to find the right type of material so that he could make the light bulb. He never looked at it as failure. He looked at it as getting closer to the right one. Maybe we need to start changing the way that we think about things. Maybe we need to start changing the way that we even think about God's word at times. You're never going to know where you're at unless you put yourself out into a place of experiencing. You know how many times I have failed in my attempts to follow the word of God or my attempts to secure a promise of God? Sometimes I had the wrong motive. Sometimes I didn't even know what the heck I was doing. But it was through every one of those failed attempts that I learned where I was at, why I failed, and what God still needed to teach me. And so it's just like when you first began riding a bike or learning how to do anything. Just because you fell off of it one time, did you kick the bike and say, stupid bike, and walk away? I'm not going to get on that bike anymore. It always makes me fall over. No, you just didn't learn how to ride that bike yet. And the Lord is just letting us know, we're going to fall. We're going to scrape our knees. We're not always going to do it right. But guess what? We're going to continue to believe him. We're going to continue to advance forward. We're going to continue to grab hold of his word, because Paul said he had to learn. He had to learn what the word of God says. He had to learn through these experiences that he went through. And he found out that through everyone that Jesus was able to infuse a strength and infuse an ability to him and put it on the inside. And he always had this understanding that God will eventually come through. Not according to my timing, but according to his timing. And that's why I believe that when we look at this subject on the kingdom of God, he's wanting to teach us something. He's wanting to teach us and solidify us into who he is and to grab hold of who he is and the resources that he has for our life and to never let it go no matter what. So can that be developed? The answer is yes. Can you develop it? Yes. And I know that by looking into a subject like this, it's just going to foster your faith. It's going to add fuel to your faith. It's going to cause you to be more willing and more desirous to believe God than you have in the past. During these weeks of not having people come here in the sanctuary and learning to once again speak into a lens, I'll always remember what my senior pastor, Bill Owens, told me years ago. He said, Mark, he says, never look at an empty room. He said, if you're looking at a camera lens, he says, I want you to see the faces. I want you to see the hungry souls. I want you to see all the people on the other side of that camera lens, whether it be today, tomorrow, next year, 10 years from now, whoever may hear it in the future. Never think that what you're doing is a waste of time when you're doing God's bidding at God's time and you know you're doing God's will and God's work. Always know that when you're looking into a lens of a camera, you are feeding those who are hungry for truth. And so I'm able to look right in that camera lens right now, however many people are watching today or in the future, that God has a sure word of prophecy. There's something that he wants to make known from his heart and his mind to you and to your life, to believe him in a greater measure than you are doing so right now. And this is this direction that I really believe that the Lord is having me go on. It's benefiting my own life spiritually. I am changed as a result of these weeks that we've been not gathering together. The way that I communicate, the way that I'm teaching, even my study time, it's all changed. It's different. There's almost like a greater authority. There's a greater power. There's a greater assurance that I have in God now than I did before all this stuff happened. Have you ever got to the place where you asked yourself, yeah, I'd just really like to learn some more. I'd like to have a little bit more wisdom on. And what would you fill in that blank with? I really don't know about this subject, but I would like to know more about it. You see, in the book of James, we are told if we don't know about something, if we're lacking wisdom, in other words, let me just back up here a little bit. Let's say you've learned some things in the Word of God. Let's say there are some things you've studied and you can share with other people about, but you really haven't experienced it yet. You need wisdom. You need the knowledge that you have gained and the practical experience in living it. Wisdom is gaining knowledge and the know-how of how to apply that knowledge. And so let's just go over here to James chapter 1. I just want to read to you from verses 5 to 8. If any of you lacks wisdom, if you don't know, I don't know what to do. I don't know about this subject. I know that it's in the Bible. I read that it's in the Bible. I can show you where it's at in the Bible, but I really don't understand how to apply it to my life. I can show you where it's at, but in handling it, in living what it says, I'm kind of at a loss for it. The Word of God is just plainly telling us here, if you don't know what to do, or if you don't understand about something, if you don't have skill in the application of something, what does it tell us to do? If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. It says you're just simply talk to God about it. Remember the verse that we covered earlier, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. How God wants to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. So not only is he going to answer your request, he's going to do exceedingly abundantly above what you're asking. You need to grab hold of that. We serve the God of more than enough. Amen? Who gives to all, right here, liberally, more than enough. And without reproach, he's not going to rebuke you for asking. He's not going to rebuke you because you don't know. He's not going to rebuke you because you don't have the skill or understand how to apply it. Or when the disciples asked Jesus about the certain parables. You know, you are always talking to these people in parables. And then Jesus was saying, well, it's given to you to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. God wants you to understand these hidden truths of the kingdom. And so after Jesus spoke, and I believe it's in Matthew 13, after Jesus gave the parable of the wheat and the tares, the disciples just went up to him and just said, explain to us the parable of the wheat and tares. And then it goes on to say, and he said, or Jesus said to them. You see, Jesus wants to make known to you the things you don't understand. The disciples didn't understand. Jesus already had told them, it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. They didn't understand. They asked Jesus. He gave them the explanation. That's how simple it needs to be for us, and we're the ones who complicate it. Let's go on here and to read. And it will be given to him. But, verse 6, James 1, 6, but let him ask in faith, what does it say here? With no doubting. For he who doubts is like the wave of a sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that person suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. Not receiving anything from the Lord? Are your prayers not being answered? Is the wisdom that you've been seeking for not coming to pass? Just simply ask yourself, have you got into a place of doubting? Have you got into a place of wavering? Look what it goes on here to say. It's going to explain it here. Verse 8. I'll read 7 and 8 together. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. This talks about a vacillating mind. This talks about a mind who says, yeah, I believe God, then I'm not believing God. I'm going to go do this, I'm not going to go do this. It talks about a person up and down, up and down, up and down. Well, one person referred to it years ago as yo-yo Christianity. I'm believing God, I'm not going to believe God. I believe God's going to do this, well, I guess he's not going to do it in my life. It's just boom, 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 boom. It talks about this person is unstable or ungrounded or doesn't have foundational truths by which his life is based on. Does not have foundational truths of Jesus Christ, of Jesus' salvation, of who Jesus is, what Jesus Christ has secured, and their place in Jesus Christ. They haven't caused, their life has not become rock solid on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And that is where the vacillation occurs, because they're not moored to Jesus. It's almost like what Jesus says, I believe it's in Matthew 7. He talks about two types of people, one who build their house on the sand and another one who builds it on a rock. What is the difference between the two? One who's just a hearer of the word and one who's a hearer and doer of the word. And a lot of times if a person can just hear the word and can explain the word but has no practical application of that word, has no life experience in that word, when trouble comes, when the floodwaters hits, when the storms of life hit, it says that great is the destruction of that house. But when a person hears the word of God, takes it in and is beginning to apply it, is beginning to use it within their life. And by use of that word, I even think it says in Hebrews chapter 5, through reason of use, that term is used in Hebrews chapter 5, through reason of use, through reason of practice. How does a person learn how to pray? By praying. You can read, I used to have in my library all these different books on prayer. Did they teach me how to pray? No, this one prayed, that one prayed, seven steps of prayer, seven steps to answered prayer, do this, do that, do this. It wasn't until I actually started praying. It wasn't until I actually took the Word of God and used it as a prayer manual and started dialoguing back and forth to God. Did I get answers right away? No. Do I get answers right away all the time? No. But I know that if I ask, I'm going to receive. If I seek, I'm going to find. If I continue knocking on what the Word of God has to say that God has for my life, eventually the door or the revelation will be opened to me. Why do I have that understanding of prayer? Everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. Everyone who knocks, it will be opened to him. That's where faith, that's where application needs to be. That's where you need to be grounded, and you need to be so grounded that if you dialogue to God, he's going to dialogue back to you. It may not always be the response you want to hear, but he will communicate back to you something you need to know. Even if I'm asking wrong, he'll dialogue back to me. He'll let Mark, your motive is wrong. Somehow he will answer in a way, even if it's wrong motive, to correct my motive so I can ask appropriately. Wow, you talk about a loving father, how he really wants to bestow upon us of who he is, what he has into our lives here, that he loves us so much to even answer us in a corrective form so that we can ask properly. See, the Lord wants to give to you liberally. So if your motive is wrong in asking, then just be aware he loves you so much to even change the motive so it can get changed in the right direction so that you can not ask amiss, that you can ask in such a way where he will abundantly answer. That should just be so encouraging to all of our lives, that he wants to do these kinds of things for us and to us. Now, we know that the Word of God, like if we refer to the parables or maybe some of the teachings of Jesus, even in the Old Testament prophets, he would use like a bundle of figs or a turned over pot in a certain direction. And he would ask the prophet, do you see that pot? Yes, it's turned over. And what direction is it in? The Lord has things obscured or hidden in his word. And the Word of God tells us that there's been some things that have been hidden from the very beginning of time. And that these revelations or these hidden truths or these mysteries are even being revealed today. That all throughout history, whether it was the time when Jesus came or succeeding generations or this last or final generation or coming up to the final generation, there are mysteries that have been covered. And there are slow revealings of truth that God has been doing over the ages. And he's wanting to take the cover off of things that he has for our lives whether it be for the church in general, whether it be for your life personally. And so there are things that God has purposely obscured, purposely kept secret, purposely kept a cover on. Now the Holy Spirit knows when we're ready to receive a truth or a mystery and have the lid taken off to reveal the contents of that mystery to us. I would like for you to go with me to Proverbs chapter 25. And Proverbs 25 is a recorded proverb. It wasn't written by Solomon himself, I believe. It was written by these other guys who wrote down what Solomon said. I think this is the one. Proverbs 25. I think it's verse 1 that explains that. Proverbs 25, verse 1. Yes, these also are Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied. So in other words, Solomon went and said this, these people wrote them down, and now we get to read them. I like verse 2. I like verse 2 because it speaks about these hidden things of God, these mysteries of God that have been concealed, and it's for us to search a matter out. And this is what it says here, verse 2. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings to search out a matter. It's just simply telling us here that there's a lot of things that God has a lid on. There's a lot of things that God has concealed. There's a lot of things that are secret or just not open to plain sight. In other words, you can look at it and like, what in the world does he mean by that? You know, what does he mean here? A whip for a horse and a bridle for a donkey and a rod for a fool's back. Who's the fool? And it takes you time to go through the book of Proverbs to find your definition or find out God's definition of a fool is. And because a fool doesn't like instruction, he's got to either be beaten into it. So he has things concealed. He has things that have a lid on it. He has things that are just not open to plain understanding. And it's going to take diligence. It's going to take yourself in the Word of God. It's going to take meditating on the Word. It's going to take a going over of God's Word to get a real good, rounded knowledge of what the Word of God has to say for certain things to start being put together and the spiritual light to go on, for things to start click, or for you to say, oh, I see that now. That's revelation knowledge. Anytime that you've had the spiritual light bulb go on, when you've read something before, I've heard people say, you know how many times I've read that and I never saw it? That's revelation knowledge when you begin to see it. That's the lid being taken off, and God has allowed you to see the contents or the hidden truth that he has, and he had it especially for you at the right time in your life. And so the Lord wants us to search out a matter. He wants us to investigate. He wants us to explore. He wants us to examine. He wants us to seek it out and seek it out and seek it out and seek it out and to stay with it. For how long? Until. There are certain things in God's Word that I have continued days in. Then I got an understanding. Weeks in, months in, sometimes even years in. And it seems that at times I get one understanding. When I come back to it a year later, wow, boy, did you see that here? It's like I even get a greater understanding. Revelation begets revelation, begets revelation, begets revelation. Jesus is the Word made flesh, as it says in John 1:14. I also have an understanding that just as God is eternal, so is his Word eternal. And there are always different vistas and different facets of truth that he's wanting to show to us in very familiar passages of Scripture. And he brings us back to them. We have to be careful that we don't say, I've heard that before. The moment you say, I've heard that Scripture before, or we've looked at that before, or something that tries to get in there and minimize what the Word of God is saying, you have just cut yourself off from any further revelation of that verse. At times, we need to repent for saying, well, you know, how many times is he going to say that verse? How many times are we going to look at that? The moment we do that, we have like a little spiritual switch and we shut it off. And we will be no more open to revelation in that area. If you've ever said that about a Scripture or about a teaching or about a teacher who may have a Scripture that they go back to and refer to often, and you have that little saying that begins going in your head, well, I've heard that before. Just simply say, you know, Lord, forgive me for saying that. Because just as infinite as you are, so is your Word. And there's always something that I can learn. If I just look with spiritual eyes to see, you will cause me to have an understanding of something that I did not see before. God wants to do that. And so it goes on here to say in verse 3 of Proverbs chapter 25, as the heavens as the heavens for height and the earth for depth, so the heart of kings is unsearchable. Take away the dross from the silver, and it will go to the silversmith for jewelry. Take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne will be established in righteousness. Now, it takes some time, even in a verse like this, to go back and begin searching it out. When you go back and you see here, as the heavens for height and the earth for depths, so the heart of kings is unsearchable. He's not saying that a king's heart here on this earth, a leader of a country, that their heart is unsearchable. You have to know how to search a person's heart out. And so when you look up this word, at times, let me share some things with you. Do you think that a leader of any country, a leader of any organization, a president over a international company is just going to divulge secrets to you? But it says that there are things that we can get to know somebody and we can spend time with a person that he would not normally divulge certain information to just anybody. But because a person is inquisitive, because a person wants to know, because a person desires certain knowledge, a king will be able to discern the true motive of a person's heart and begin to reveal things that he would not normally reveal to someone else. So let me just give you a little bit of a definition here of this word, what it says here. So the heart of the kings is unsearchable. The heart of the king, his secrets are in hidden places with inside of him. The secrets and depths are hidden and only known to him. Things about his kingdom, things about his resources, about his treasury, about his troops, where his troops are at, the plans and strategies that he might be developing, they're all with inside of him. And it goes on here to say that they are made known through investigation, through inquiry, and probing. That there are times that in my life where when I was working for a particular company and working my way up in management, and as I would spend time with the general manager, his name was Jeff, and I got to have a really good rapport with Jeff. When I would go into his office after working a long day and just go in there and say, well, I'd like to know how you got to the position you're in right now, Jeff. And he goes, really? He goes, you're really interested in how this company works and how this company functions? I said, yeah, I'd like to understand some of the behind-the-scene operations. And he's like, well, because you asked, I'm going to share with you some things. As I began to probe, as I began to inquire, as he saw that I had an interest, the things that were unsearchable, that weren't readily available to anybody, because he saw I had an interest, because he saw I had a desire, because he saw that I really wanted it, just not for myself, but for the betterment of that company, he would sit down and reveal to me trade secrets. He'd reveal to me how he makes purchases and how we get such a good price on certain product and how anybody can get that good price on the product if he knows how to do this and this and this. And so he began sharing with me the unsearchable things that were not available to the general public, but because of inquiry, because of interest, because of me probing and spending time with him, he decided that he could trust me with certain information. The Lord is also like that. The Lord has certain things that are concealed. The Lord has certain things that are unknown to just the general, maybe general Christianity or people that are just reading the Bible. But if you're really wanting to grow, if you're really wanting to know the heart and character of God, if you're really wanting to know how things operate in the kingdom of God, if you're really hungering and thirsting for what makes that kingdom of God function and how can I have more of a function of it here on earth, And if you just begin spending time with God, even after at the end of a long day and you're tired, and you just rather just, you know, maybe just sit there and watch a TV program or go to bed or read some book and say, you know, Lord, I've got some questions about you and about your kingdom. And God will see your heart. He will see the inquisitiveness you have. He will listen to your inquiry. He will allow you to probe himself. And he will see the diligence that you have. He will see that you are a person who wants to know these things, not just for the good of yourself, but for the good of others. And he will begin to release these truths to you. If I was able to get it from a general manager of a company that I worked for, and he was willing to divulge to me some of what we could call the trade secrets, or how this business operated, or how he was put in that position because he knew certain things and could get certain things done, and he began sharing them with me, how much more the Heavenly Father? It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We need to start spending some more time before God about who he is and wanting to get to know his true Father heart, wanting to get to know how he wants more of a greater manifestation of his kingdom here on earth. As I said at the beginning of this teaching this evening, I ended my time with the Lord today in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. I'm going to end here tonight. I'm not going to share anymore. I believe this is the place where we need to stop. But you have to know the heart of God for your life today, that there is so much that he's still wanting to reveal to you. There's still so much that he's wanting you to grab hold of. He's wanting you to understand. There's so many things about himself that he's wanting to open up to you. And he has concealed these things. And he wants you as a king priest. He wants you as one of those that have an access to his presence. He's one of those who have a seat in his presence, as it tells us in Ephesians chapter 2. We've been given a seat in heavenly places, or the very courtroom of God. Or it tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, where we have access into the Holy of Holies because of the blood of Jesus, that God has given us a place in his presence to hear what's going on, to ask about what's going on and how these things function, not only in heaven, but how they function here on earth, so that we can have that same prayer that Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We have prayed this prayer. We have thought about this prayer. How many times over the years have you said this? But have you ever stopped and to take counsel with God and said, you know, Lord, there's a lot of things I don't understand about your kingdom and the operation of that kingdom and how that's supposed to operate here on earth. But apparently, no, because of what Jesus has taught us in this prayer, that there's something of where you are at that you want to be made more manifested here on earth. And I would like for you to teach me. I would like for you to school me in how your kingdom can operate here on earth, within my life, through my life, into other people's lives. I believe that there's so much more that God wants to share with us and reveal to us about his kingdom while we are still here on this side of eternity. And I'm going to be probing this subject. I'm going to be delving deeper into this subject. And so, like I asked in the very beginning, pray for me. Pray for me as I seek the heart of God, as I seek the counsel of God. You do the same thing. Ask God for a greater understanding of his kingdom and how that's supposed to operate here on earth, over the forces of darkness, over what we see taking place on this planet, how that is supposed to be in operation, so that we can have an understanding with those end time saints. I did say I would say this scripture, so I'm going to close with this scripture. In Revelation chapter 12, two verses, and then I'll pray. Revelation 12, 10 and 11. These end time believers, or these tribulation saints, or these believers in Jesus that are here during the last days of the church on earth. In verse 10, it says, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven. So it's saying in heaven for us to experience here on earth. Now salvation and the strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. have come from where? He sang it from heaven on earth, from heaven to earth, just as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. These last day saints, these end time believers, are going to be experiencing a now of their salvation on earth. A now of what? It says here the word strength, it's actually dunamis, it's power. And it goes on here to say a manifestation of the kingdom of our God. Where? Here on earth. And this last word here, where it says, and the power of his Christ have come. That's the word authority. The authority of Jesus Christ manifested here on earth. We even have a taste here that it's going to be on these last days that we are living here. So I just want to encourage you with this word today to believe God, because I believe that this verse is a verse for us to grab hold of in our lives here today. Heavenly Father, I praise you, I thank you, and I glorify you as God for giving us a greater understanding of what your word has to say concerning your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. There are things that you have for us to experience while we're still here on this side of eternity. As Jesus walked this planet, manifesting the kingdom of God, so we are also, as Jesus' body, to be more manifesting the kingdom of God than we have been thus far. So we thank you, Father, for bringing us the understanding or the wisdom, the knowledge and its application to walk in these truths that you have for us to experience here on earth as it has already been established in heaven. We thank you ahead of time. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God.